Bible reading this evening comes to us from John chapter 10, the first 21 verses. And it's entitled, "I am the Good Shepherd." "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of our Lord.
Our text verse, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I am the good shepherd is the topic this evening. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, on Good Friday, we reflected that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross as reconciliation for our sins. But Jesus came to erect his kingdom on earth, to reconcile us with God, and the greatest resistance against this was sin. Sin made the establishment of the kingdom of God impossible, and therefore Jesus suffered and died on the cross to reconcile us with God. Our suffering came through sin. And through sin and disobedience and death, disease like this coronavirus. But Jesus was prepared to die for us. Take our sorrows on him too. All our suffering and sorrows. And he died for his sheep, we are taught in John 10, verse 14 to 15. "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This should be a great comfort to everyone, that the Lord knows his sheep, that he knows his people by name. I've called you by name, Isaiah 43. You are mine. And it should give us a great comfort that the Lord laid down his life for his sheep. But it also means that our election is certain, that we will and cannot fall from the Lord's hands. We already heard last week that we are dead in our sins, that God, Ephesians 1, elected his people before the foundation of the earth. And it was not because of anything good he saw in us, but out of grace alone. This evening we stand still at this truth, that Jesus died for the elect, his sheep. Our text verse, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's a question. It's so clear. For whom does he lay down his life? Everyone? Like the Armenians say? Scripture is clear. His sheep. His people. And he's the good shepherd. And this should comfort us. That Jesus knows his people. He knows what we are. He knows that we are sheep likely to wander. That he knows about peer pressure. He knows about all the demands of being a Christian. He knows when we are this desperate and need. He knows when we do not know what to do anymore. And he knows that Israel, the Old Testament church, was likely to wander off despite what God has given them. Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who is the him Isaiah is talking about? It's Jesus. And God knows that the sheep needed the shepherd's voice. That they will listen, that they will come when he calls. They trusted his voice alone, and they stayed away from the seductive voices of the world, because they await the wolves. John 10 verse 12 to 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And so Jesus told us who he is, who he died for. He died for his sheep. But also that we should be careful to listen to his voice alone. And this is the voice of Scripture, the living word. And he made it so clear that the hired hand and the wolf do not care about the sheep, but they want to confuse the sheep. They want to scatter them. And this is what heresy and false doctrine do. It scatters. It brings this unity under the pretense of love and care, like a hired hand or shepherd. And so the Armenians, who taught that God the Father appointed his son to death on the cross without a fixed and definite plan to save anyone by name, appear if they have a wider view of God's love for humanity. They believe that God died for the whole of humanity without any preference. That God did not have anyone specific in mind. And that he died to make salvation possible for anyone who would take this offer. That Jesus only died to make salvation possible. You can decide. You yourself, if you want to do this. It all depends on you. You are not dead in your sin, like Ephesians 2 states. You are not deaf, and you are not blind for his love and his voice. And so the question, can someone who is dead in his life, in his or her sin, do this? Can sheep without a shepherd, who are going astray, all of them, who turn to his or her own way, and who is likely to wander off, do this? Certainly not. And so people are referenced in the Bible as sheep. And it's so applicable because sheep is most likely to follow their leader. For example, if someone puts a stick across a path, the leader sheep will jump over the stick. And when someone takes away the stick, the sheep will keep jumping just because their leaders did it. Is it smart? Sheep is not smart. Sheep need direction, someone to care for them and guide them. And if you understand that, and you understand peer pressure, you'll also understand teenagers and the trend to get the newest mobile, all the apps, all the TikTok. There are also many references to his people being sheep. Why not something powerful like a horse? But if we look about sheep, look into sheep, we will understand a bit more. And again, sheep are not intelligent. They are not known to be smart or cunning animals. When it comes to safety, they are rather susceptible. They tend to wander away from the protection of the shepherd. They are directionless. They get lost easily. Individual sheep easily wander away from the flock, while the grays, sheep become restless. There are two major reasons why sheep become restless. First one, hunger. Second one, bugs or insects. Hunger, sheep can gracefully and peacefully graze for hours, but they become restless when food is scarce. That's also for us. Spiritual hunger occurs when the word of God is lacking, when his truths are not preached. A well-fed sheep will not feed at a stranger's hand. But hungry sheep goes to the world and will eat anything. Second thing, bugs. It's an insect that torments sheep by landing and nesting on their heads. The bug remains undetected by the shepherd. It will multiply and eventually blind the shepherd, the sheep. So shepherd in the Middle East routinely rubbed olive oil on the sheep's head to prevent the bug from landing on there, thereby eliminating the problem. And so King David the shepherd understood this when he wrote in Psalm 23 verse 5, "Confess that the Lord is his shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Brings us back to us. Can you understand why we need a shepherd? Also in our time, with all the enemies, all the heresies, all the false doctrine. Jesus knows. And he knew that we needed a shepherd. And he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. So the task of the shepherd in the Bible was to lead a sheep to good pastures with plenty of water. He had to take care of the sick and the wounded. Sometimes he had to protect the sheep from predators such as lions and bears that would threaten the sheep, or wolves. And the shepherd was with his sheep every day. And because of that, there was a remarkable relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd knew every sheep by their name. And the sheep knew the shepherd's voices. And so would a shepherd never leave his flock to his own fate. but cared for them and protected them. And now Jesus told us exactly who he is. He is the Good Shepherd. He was from the tribe of David, and the Good Shepherd was born, and the Lord had not forgotten his promise. As our Shepherd, the Lord is always with us. He will never leave us. He's with us through his Spirit. And as the Good Shepherd, Jesus demonstrates his care in many different ways. Verse 3, he speaks to his sheep. He communicates with us through his word, his Spirit, the preaching, to make it applicable in our lives, to watch out for the wolves. He calls his sheep by name. He knows our name. Even before the creation of the world, he formed us. We belong to him. Our greatest comfort in life and death is that we belong to Jesus. Verse 4, he leads his sheep by giving direction. If we sometimes wander off, he calls back and he leads us back to him through his word and Spirit. He calls, he leads to repent, and he will never let go despite our sin. And he will forgive the one who is broken. Verse 5, he goes before his sheep. We know about Christ's suffering on the cross, his death, his burial, his anguish, his pain, his terror of soul. Especially on the cross to save me from the excruciating pain and anxiety of hell. And he went before us into death and the grave, so that we could live forever. Another fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 23. Shadow of death. Verse 15. He lays down his life so that for the sheep so that they could live. Philippians 2 verse 6 to 8. Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. For Christ's death was the demand of Christ's righteousness, and by grace alone he died, so that we don't have to fear death anymore, but can know it's only a passage to eternal life, and that our sinful life is buried with him. And he came to take care of the lost sinner. He came to find the lost in his grace alone. He came as the shepherd to feed him the bread of life. He came to the thirsty to sustain with the water of peace. And he's the Lamb of God. And for our sins he was slain. And this good shepherd gave up his life for his sheep. And he wrote, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is what a good shepherd is doing. He knows his sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus also said to his disciples in Matthew 20 verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you hear this, it sounds much more gracious than any of the Arminians' viewpoints. They are saying Christ died for everyone. But it's not really certain if someone is really saved. It all depends if you accept Christ's sacrifice on a cross. If you are unwilling, Christ cannot do much. This means that Christ paid a ransom, but no one can really know if they are saved. The Word of God teach, in the first place, not that a ransom was paid for everyone. Listen carefully. Many, Matthew 12 verse 28, sheep that belong to the Lord. There are many who are elect. And Christ knows his sheep. And his sheep know him. But how can I know if I am elect? You can believe this. It comes down to faith. If you believe in Christ, you can know with all certainty that you are elect. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God himself, and the Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts that Christ is our shepherd. We also confess in Lord's Day 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism, where does that faith come from? The answer, the Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel, confirms it through our use of the Holy Sacraments. And so faith is a gift from God. And the initiative did not come from us, the sheep. It wasn't possible, but from God. He gave his son to lay down his life for the cross. And the Spirit produces faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. We cannot incorporate ourselves in Christ as his church. We are chosen by God in a true faith, worked by the Holy Spirit. I want to address the question that someone could ask. If Jesus only died for the elect, his sheep, why should we then proclaim the gospel? And the reason is that we don't have an insight in God's counsel. We do not have a list of all the elect, all the sheep. If we did have such a list, our evangelism would have been so easy. But what we have is a command from Christ in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to know that God knows who the elect is, that God decides. And when such a person hears the gospel, the Lord opens through his Spirit that person's heart, and their ears and their eyes will be opened for the gospel through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's regeneration. It's not our task to determine who the elect is. Our task is to proclaim the gospel, to pray for them. Pray that God will open their hearts through his Spirit. And so we need to pray for the lost and the gospel. Let me conclude. We hear all the time now that we are good, that our salvation depends on us. This is false doctrine. It can give no comfort. But you can know that Christ died for his sheep, that he's the good shepherd, and your salvation is certain. Jesus himself said, John 10, verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And the apostle John wrote in chapter 11, verse 51 to 52, he did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God. Exactly what Jesus said. He will bring all the sheep so that they can be one. We would have had no comfort if our salvation depended on us. And the Arminians view that Christ died for everyone can bring a believer like you and me no comfort. Because then my salvation would have been dependent on me, a sinner, a sheep, likely to wander off. But we can know with all certainty that if your hand is in your shepherd's, and it's indeed Christ's promise on the cross that he will never leave, then we have nothing to fear. Christ himself conquered death. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, where he reigns over everything until he comes again. And we can confess, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know that we are saved, elect by grace alone, not through our own doing, but through grace. That we can know about this grace because we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ,
as the Good Shepherd, our Saviour,
and that the election is certain because it comes from you. That you elected your sheep, your people, the sheep of your past, even before the foundation of the earth. That you opened our hearts, that you made us new through your Spirit. Father, we pray that we will hold on to the truth of your word and the confession, that we will not be seduced by the world and the heresies of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.